Thanks, Kate. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, you know what's in our hearts. You know how easy it is for us to be distracted. You know that that the evil one prowls around looking to snatch this word away from us. Father, we pray that we would be able to listen, that you would speak to us this morning, and that we would come away transformed more and more into the likeness of your glorious Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. As Adam mentioned, we're beginning a new series this morning, Faith on Mondays. What does it look like to live as a Christian more than just this hour and a half on Sunday morning? And so we'll be looking at the idea of what do we do on Mondays that doesn't match up with who we say we are on a Sunday? And what are we learning on Sundays that we can apply in the rest of our life? Because really, if the gospel only affects Sunday mornings, do we have that much to offer? But if the gospel is something that should permeate all of our lives, every day of the week, then friends, we have something invaluable to offer to our community, and in this case, to our workmates. And so week one of our series, we're looking at the idea of work. What does the gospel have to say about our jobs? What does the gospel have to say about climbing the corporate ladder? What does the gospel have to say about our work? And I want to begin by saying that there's something going on when it comes to work. There's something strange, there's something dangerous going on when it comes to work. Because I don't know about you, but most people I speak to, work is killing them. There's something going on with work that it is far more than it's ever been before. People are working longer. They're having less time for anything else. Can you remember that there was once a time where people worked a 40-hour week? Can you believe that? Can you remember that there was once a time when people worked for 5 days and had 2 days off? It feels like a lifetime ago. There's something going on when it comes to work. Something has gone wrong. We are now working ourselves to death. In Sydney, in Africa, in eastern and western parts of our world, work is going wrong. What is our problem? Is it a technological problem? If we just get rid of our smartphones, everything will get better. Is it an economic problem? Is it a sociological problem? What's going on that has led work to be where it is today? First and foremost, I personally think that it's not any of those issues. First and foremost, I think it's a theological problem. First and foremost, I think we've misunderstood what work is all about, what its purpose is, and what its purpose is not. And in order to solve that issue, we're going to go all the way back to the very beginning. As Kate's just read for us, we're going to take a look at the book of Genesis. What does God say work is all about? What work has God called us to do? And what work has God not called us to do? And so for the rest of this morning, I want us to look at the good, the bad, and the ugly when it comes to work. The good, the bad, and the ugly, starting off with the good. How is work good? Work is good because our God works. Work is good because our God works. Take a look at, have your Bibles open with me, Genesis 2 and verse 2. Genesis 2 and verse 2, it's on page 2. Almost wished I was Kiwi there for a minute. Genesis 2 verse 2. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Our God is a God who works. He worked. In fact, the entire first chapter of Genesis is about our God working. He worked to create the world. He worked to create mankind. He worked to fill the world. Our God is a God who works. And I want to say that at the time that this was written, this was a radical intellectual idea. We might not think it now in our Christian circles. This was a radical idea. The Eastern religions of the time, let me give you as an example. In the Eastern religions of the time, the world was created almost by accident as the gods were battling it out. The gods were having these epic duels, and almost as a side result, the world was created. And the gods sort of looked at each other and go, this world, it's going to be a lot of work. What are we going to do? And so one of them said, let's create this sub-creature, let's call it man, and he can do the work for us so that we gods can rest. In Eastern religions, the idea of a god who worked was crazy. And so was the case for the Western religions, the Greek and Roman mythology. You might have heard of the term Pandora's box. I'd be very surprised if anyone here hadn't heard of Pandora's box. But I wonder if we know where it came from. Originally, this box was given from one god to another god and said, whatever you do, don't open the box. And the gods are, you know, a little bit like us. And so the first thing they do is they open the box and out pops death and disease and decay and work. All the bad things that we have in this world, including work, came out of Pandora's box. The idea that work is a good thing was just never in their picture. And so as we read these words in Genesis 2, that work is good because our God works, this is a completely countercultural idea. Our God is a God who, take a look at 2 verse 8, the Lord God had planted a garden in the east. Our God is a God with dirt underneath his fingernails. Our God is a God who works. And so it's not surprising when God came to be one of us several thousand years later. He didn't come as a king or a prince, as the east would have expected. He didn't come as a philosopher, as the west would have expected. But he came as a humble carpenter, a union man. Our God is a God who works. And because of that, he calls us to work. Take a look at 2 verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. Our work is good because we follow a God who works. And this means that all work is good, whether it be white collar or blue singlet, whether it be paid or unpaid, whether it be out in a workplace or in our own homes. Work is good, friends. Work is good. And secondly, I want to say that there is good in all work because we are made in the image of God. There is good in all work because we are made in the image of God. Genesis 1:27, take a look with me. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. We are made in the image of God. A lot of people like to think that this works relationally. Our God is a relational God and therefore we are made as relational beings. But I think the fact that God is a creator also has an effect when we take on his image. You'll notice in Genesis 1 and 2, the word create is used a number of times, but it is only used of God. Only God can make something out of nothing. But there are a bunch of other words that are applied to us that we are called to do. Words like shape and transform and form and steward and take care of. And I take it this is the role of the Spirit in Genesis 1. We read that in the beginning the earth was formless and void and dark, and the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. It was the Spirit that took chaos and made it into order. And I want to say that you and I are called to play out that part of being in the image of God in our workplace. What does that mean? Let me put a bit of flesh on it. Each and every job that we do will have an aspect where we are called to take what is disordered and make it ordered. To take what is unformed and to make it beautiful. To take what is chaotic and make it ordered. Let me give you a few examples. A businessman is brought in to take over and transform a company that's just not performing. What does he do? He takes the disordered resources, the chaotic human resources, physical resources, and he shapes it and molds it and transforms it into something that works. A doctor or a nurse, their job is to take a body that is disordered and broken and to make it whole. A gardener is to take land and dirt that is chaotic and random and to make something beautiful from it. A teacher or a parent is to take this unformed, chaotic potential that is children and to grow them and to love them and to shape them into something that resembles a young man or woman. A hairdresser, even something as mean as a hairdresser, they take what is unformed and crazy and disordered and they make order from it. Now, I could go on all day, but what does that look like for you? What is the good in your work? In your workplace, what do you have the possibility of doing that is going to take what is chaotic, what is disordered, what is not quite right, and to make it whole and complete and ordered and beautiful? Because as you do that, you are being the image bearer that you were created to be. And you are doing God's work in this place. I hear lots of sermons on work, and it seems the take-home value is go make money, support ministries, and while you're there, evangelize your friends. And there's a sense that both of those aspects are good. We are called to be good stewards of the money that we have. We are called to talk about the kingdom of God and the hope that we have to our neighbors. But not enough times do we hear that there is actually good in the work that we do. Do you know that? Will you look for that? Will you go and enjoy and embrace the unique parts of your job that God has given you the unique gifts to do, that you can find ways of creating beauty? Engineers, you can be creative in this. Who would have thought? It's great. No matter what job we do, we are called to work in a way that reflects the God who made us in His image. Will we go out and do that? Will we go out and look for opportunities to be God's workers no matter where we've been put? Your job at the moment might be studying. Your job might be raising children. Your job at the moment might be to recover or to look for work. We're not just talking about paid full-time employment here. No matter what God has called you to do, there is a beauty and a creativity that is before you. Rejoice, take it up. Because as you do that, you will see that you are doing what you were created to do. Friends, there is enormous good in work. Now, I might imagine that some of us are sitting here thinking, you know, this is a really utopian view of work. This is all great, but, you know, my boss is lousy and I'm forced to work too long for things that I'm not good at doing. And there's also a bad of work. The second point, there is also a bad of work. Because just as Genesis 1 and 2, just as work was there in paradise in the beginning, so comes Genesis 3 and the fall. And as you remember, men and women, we eat the apple, relationships are cursed, and in particular, the relationship between us and our work is cursed. By the sweat of your brow will you go on and work all the days of your life. And I don't think this is a point that I need to labor, friends. We know that in this world, work is hard. We know that in this world, we don't get the rewards that we deserve so often. We work for people who use us, and it's so easy to fall into that trap. Friends, let's not make work harder than it needs to be. Let's be people who aren't lazy. Let's be people who aren't gossips. Let's be people who view other people in our workplace as human beings and not rungs on a ladder to climb over. work is good, work is bad. And thirdly, work can be ugly. Work can be ugly. And by this, I think it's on the next slide, there is a work under our work. There is a work under our work. Let me ask you a question to try and bring this out. Is your work about what you do, or is your work about you? Is your work about what you do, or is your work about you? Let me give you three examples of people who work really isn't about their work, it's all about them. The first one is a man called Harold Abrams. You might remember him from the movie Chariots of Fire. He was one of those guys who ran really quickly. One of the quotes that jumps out at me from this movie is where Harold gets up in front of many, many people and he says the line, "I have 10 seconds to justify my existence." I have 10 seconds to justify my existence. His work, in one sense, is about running really fast from here to there, 110 yards away. But underneath that work, he has created for himself a work where he has to justify his existence. His work is where he finds value and identity and purpose. There is a work underneath his work that is not strong enough to sustain the load that he's putting it on. Secondly, you might recognize this person. Her name's Madonna. Madonna is quoted in Vogue magazine, and I'll tell you, I don't quote Vogue magazine very often. Madonna is quoted in Vogue magazine saying, "I work hard because I fear being mediocre. I have a point to prove." In one sense, the work that Madonna has is to sing and to act and to entertain. But underneath that, she has created a whole other sort of work. She has this deep fear of being ordinary. Can you imagine how much stress that places on her work? What happens if she can no longer work? Thirdly, this one's for the boys, Rocky. I think he says it in a more real way than the other two. He gets up and says, "I work hard, I fight, I get up, so I know I'm not a bum. I work so I know that I'm not a bum." See, Rocky's work, Madonna's work, Harold Abrams' work, it's all about them. I work so I can justify my existence, so I can find my identity, so I can have value and esteem. It's all about them. And friends, work was never designed to hold that kind of importance. Work will never be able to hold that kind of importance. When Jesus came, he said to the world that he saw was working too hard, he said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I take it that he's not talking about taking away the work that we are made to do. I take it that he's saying, "Come to me and I will take the work under your work away." Because when you try and work for your importance, when you try and work for your justification, when you try and work for your identity, it will crush you. And don't we know how that feels? It will crush you. And so Jesus says, "Come to me and I will give you an identity." In the gospel, we don't create our own identity, we receive an identity. We receive a purpose. We receive value. We receive a justification for who we are that is completely separate from our work. So many people I know, they get to retirement or they lose their job and their identity is just gone. That will happen to all of us if our identity is in what we do. Wouldn't it be so much better if our identity was found in the gospel as being made precious to God, made in his image, redeemed at an incredible price, the price of his only son? Friends, that makes us valuable. that makes us esteemed, that gives us an identity. How do we know that we are working for the sake of work and that we're not bogged down by the work under the work? How do we know when the gospel has taken hold of our life? How do we know when the power of the gospel is being unleashed in everyday living at work? How do we know? One simple test. We will rest. We will rest. If you're someone like Madonna who says, I'm trying to avoid being mediocre, I need to know that I'm achieving something, there is no place for rest, because resting is getting in the way of you doing what you need to do to become who you want to be. But when we stop and realize that God has given us all that we need, we will be able to go to work, enjoy the good, put up with the bad, and come home and rest, knowing that work doesn't have to hold up our identity. How good are you at resting? We all know that ultimately our rest is yet to come. In Hebrews 3 and 4, God says there is still a rest to come for the people of God. As my people enter into my eternal kingdom with me forever. Friends, until that day when Jesus returns or calls us home, we will have work to do. Whether it's paid work, unpaid work, work in retirement, helping grandchildren, whatever it is, until that day there will be work to do. And in that there will be great things, there will be frustrating things, and there will be the temptation to make work all about us. We're going to need every power that the gospel can give us to avoid making work all about us. We're going to need each other to help. We're going to need someone to say the hard word when we need it. Look, are you making work about you, or you're making work about work? We're going to need each other's help. We're going to need the Spirit working powerfully in us, and we're going to need to pray. That's what I'm going to do right now. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are created in the image of a God who is creator. And we thank you that we have so many opportunities to do wonderful things in the work that you've called us to do. We also know that this side of heaven, work is never going to give us the rewards that we work so hard towards. Help us to endure those aspects of our work. But Father, most importantly, help us to view work in the place that it's meant to be viewed, as something we're called to do, not as something that we're to get our identity from. Father, may our identity be found in Christ alone. And may that free us. May that empower us. May that give us great rest. And may that focus our eyes to the rest that is to come when we enter your eternal rest and be with you forever. Father, help us to live lives empowered by the gospel on Mondays and beyond. In Jesus' name.